ready to write a letter to someone you really cared about. And you got ready and you had your pen ready, you got the paper out. You couldn't think of any words appropriate to write on that paper. You get, and all you can really say is, I love you. That's it. Just to know how much He loved me. He's awesome, God. He's an awesome God. I couldn't write a letter that would be appropriate to thank Him for all that He's done. His many blessings. David said just the benefits. Some people work for a job, they get benefits. This is just the benefits. He said, what shall I render to the Lord for His many benefits? I'm telling you, the world is missing it. They're missing it. Living for God has got its benefits. Hallelujah. I got trouble like they do, but I got somebody to go to they don't have. Hallelujah. In my time of trouble. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, I said, lead me. Lead me to that rock that's higher than I, for thou has been a fortress and a shelter unto me. The world doesn't have that. Oh, I'm glad. Oh, it's so good to know God tonight. Hallelujah. I don't have a whole lot for you tonight, but I just want to talk to you tonight about God and things that God sends and things that God anoints. Let's go to Acts chapter 7 and 35. Amen. Acts 7, 35. So glad you're here tonight. I love all of you so very, very much, and I appreciate y'all's diligence to attend and in the prayer room and support this church in every way that you do. Acts 7 and 35, the writer is talking about Moses. He said, this Moses whom they refused. Wow, wasn't Moses the deliverer? Right? This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send. I want you to say that with me. God sinned. Because that's what we're going to talk about. This same one they questioned was a godsend. Did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him where? In a burning bush. That's where God sent him. That was the day He sent him. Galatians says this. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God sent it. But He didn't send it till, when God sent it, it's the right time. Somebody's already said it. He may not be early, he's going to be right on time. It wasn't time for you to get that job. But when God is ready, it's time, He'll send it. Then Hebrews 12 and 24, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant or the New Testament, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel, or the sacrifices that Abel gave that was accepted unto God. This is a more acceptable sacrifice than that. See that ye refuse not him that was sent. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, Moses, much more shall we not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, Christ. I want to talk about the godsend tonight. The godsend. We put these two words together and we use them. I've heard this. I've not used that word very much, but I've heard it used quite a bit. They were a godsend. So let's talk about that tonight. God, I come before you. Your presence is always welcome. Hallelujah. Wherever we go, let it always be welcome. For I don't want to go any place or do anything where your presence would not want to go and enter in. We ask that you be with us tonight. Talk to our congregation, Lord, through your word. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, sometimes to find things out, you have to ask more questions than one. I don't mean sometimes to bother people, but I'm good when I don't understand something. I'm going to keep asking you till I do. You know, I want to understand it. Because sometimes when you only find out part of the truth of something, it can be dangerous. You just found out one part of it, and then I need to know more than that. And it reminds me of a a little boy that was going to cross the road, and he had a dog standing by him as he got ready to cross the road. And a stranger come up, and he said, said to the little boy, says, "Does your dog bite?" He said, "Oh, no, sir." Oh, he got ready to pet him. That dog grabbed him by the hand and bit into his hand, and boy, it pulled it back. He said, "Boy, I thought you said your dog didn't bite." He said, "That ain't my dog." Sometimes you need to ask more questions than just one to get all the answers. And sometimes we act on one thing and we don't know the details. And so I want to talk about not refusing that godsend. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You could say, hey, this was a godsend. This is something that came from God. Amen. And I've heard that term used so many times. It come in the nick of time. It was a godsend. Brother was talking about someone sending him a check. It was a godsend. And I want to talk about times that God sends things by divine order. And it's not coincidental. It's not accidental. But it's intentional by the divine purpose of God. He waits until it is the right time. It is the fullness of time. If it's not here yet, don't try to make it happen. When it's there, it's time, God sends it. Amen. You look at Noah when he was on the ark. He opened up the window. He sent forth a dove, right? Sometimes you got to open your hand and let it go. Too many people hold on to things. Sometimes you just got to let it go. I don't know if it's coming back or not. But the Bible says to cast your bread where? Upon the water. And it will return to you after many days. Sometimes you got to open up your hand and let it go. And so he let it go. And the dove, you know, and the raven didn't come back. And then the dove did. And the second time it come back with an olive branch. And he knew it was time. But he had to send it forth to get something back. And sometimes we don't send anything forth to get it back. And he was trying to see. He could have just stayed and kept the window closed. Now, God, you speak to me. Let me know. But he used what he had. He sent forth a raven and a dove. And when the dove returned, not this last time, he said, it's time to get out of the ark. And so there's many times after we've exhausted all of our efforts and we just don't know what to do, we're looking for a godsend. Now, let me prepare you for something. Be careful for what you call a godsend. There's been many, 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 many people that said something was a godsend. Oh, she's a godsend. He's a godsend. This guy, this job is a godsend. And it's the greatest curse you ever had. And when you got it, you thought, man, this is a godsend. And then later on, it tries your faith because you spoke too soon. And so I want to understand what constitutes a godsend. Why would God send something? Is it just to rescue me? And I'm here to tell you, yes, God knows how to deliver the righteous out of all their troubles. But I'm here to tell you, when God really makes a godsend, it is for deliverance. We're going to show you throughout the Bible, when God sent something, it was to deliver. And I've heard too many times people say, oh, this was a godsend. I even heard one church person say, man, we were in desperate needs. And so-and-so came up and we voted him in. This was years ago, so don't think anything recent. Years ago. And it was a godsend. Now, he don't even want to go to church where they're at. You know, so you've got to be careful sometimes. The Bible does say to try the spirits to see if they be of God. Did God send this? The Bible says in one place that God sent forth an evil spirit. Well, that evil spirit may have troubled Saul, but guess what? It delivered David. And so when God sends forth something, it is to send forth deliverance. Amen. When you look at the life of Joseph, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he kind of takes the mask off. And when he says, I am Joseph, your brother. And it's like they didn't believe it. But when he told them what they did to him, they were fearful then and afraid of him. But this is what he said. He said, be not afraid. God did send me. He sent me ahead of you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. When God sends something, it does not cause confusion or anger or malice or any of these things. He said, you meant it for evil, but what God sends, he means for good. God doesn't send things to mess your life up. He sends things to deliver you. the pit that Joseph was in was part of the God send. But we don't hear Joseph complain, God, why did you send me through the pit? And so even our gospel message is a God send. God does not use rookies to send his word out. Let me tell you, we all say, and I still say it, God, use me. Send me. Send me to somebody. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to be sent of God, you're going to have to go through some stuff. God's not going to send somebody that gets halfway down the journey and comes back. He's going to send you because he has confidence in you, as he did with Paul. I'll shew him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. He sent him. And so the Bible talks about Joseph. He may have had favor with God and favor with man, but Lord, he went through a lot of things. But he was a God-sent deliverer, if you will, for the children of Israel, as he had a place to save them alive until the time came that they would be released out of Egyptian bondage. And so if you find yourself today trying to make something work and make something happen, be careful that you're not vulnerable to calling something a godsend that's not a godsend. Because when you do that, it tries your faith later. Because when it doesn't work out, you've already declared this was a godsend. And then it doesn't work out, and you're going, you don't know what to believe anymore. So if it brings deliverance to you, that's what I'm trying to teach you tonight. If it brings deliverance to you, it's of God. If it doesn't bring deliverance to you, it's not of God. Because God is a deliverer, right? He came to restore the captive, restore the sight of the blind, open up the, let the lame. Well, he came to restore, not to confuse. The Bible says he is not the author of what? Confusion. For where confusion is and strife is every evil work. All right. And so we see here that the children of Israel have been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years, and we find that Moses is going to be the godsend of the Old Testament. He is the man that God calls to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage. And while God had his hand on Moses from the very beginning, out of the womb, the Bible says he was a proper child. And when he could no longer be hid for 3 months, they put him in a basket, his mom and dad did, and said, God, have your way. And unless you're willing to float down the river with the crocodiles and the alligators, don't tell me God sent me. I mean, who God sends, he tries. He proves. He uses them because they're usable. And so he tried Moses. He tried him so hard. Because you're not going to, Moses, you're going to go through a lot of things, as he's, I already said, Paul did, if you're going to be my godsend. And we all, Lord, send me, use me. Let me tell you, you don't really know what you're praying. Because we look at the life of Moses. He grows up for 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. He is an Israelite, but he's called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He sits there, but guess what? God is going to use him, but he's sitting there learning all about these Egyptian ways. He got to walk out through all of Egypt, and he learned everything about Pharaohs and how they operated and all this kind of stuff. But after 40 years, he saw two men fighting, two Israelites fighting. Oh, and he said, brethren, this ought not be. And that one brother spoke to him and said, what are you going to do? Kill me like you did that Egyptian? He said, uh-oh. He said, this thing is out. And he fled to the wilderness. He fled to the wilderness, and there he stayed another 40 years. Then he'll spend another 40 delivering them. I preached a sermon years ago, I'm sure you don't remember it, called Life Has Three 40s. And there are three 40s in a man's life. And Moses is living out this other 40 years on the backside of the desert. But guess what? While he's on the desert herding sheep, now he's learning everything about the wilderness. Because he's going to be sent of God. You better learn something about the enemy you're going to fight. And so God's just preparing him, even though he doesn't know it, but there's something in his heart. It was like, David, is there not a cause? And so we find now that he is on the backside of the desert, tending to his father-in-law's sheep, kicking around the sheep dung, pulling out the weeds, and he's just like, I don't know what God's doing with my life. I just haven't a clue. I thought I was doing the right thing when I did that. And Lord, now here I am running from my life, working for my father-in-law. What's up with that? And then all of a sudden, he sees this bush burning as he's walking. This was not the first bush that he saw burning. But he said, I will now turn aside to see why the bush is not consumed. Right? And so he turns aside, and out of this, the Bible says, out of this flame of fire speaks a voice. Now, here's where he sent him from. And Moses wondered at the sight, the Bible says, and he drew near, and behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the Lord God of your father, God of Abraham. Abraham was sent of God. Arise. And leave thy kindred and thy friends and go to a place I call. He was sent of God. And I am the God of Isaac and I am the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and the Lord said unto him, now pull off your shoes, for this ground you stand on is holy ground. And picking it up at the 34th verse, he said, I have seen. See, the time to be sent must be right. Not too early. And not too late. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. And I have heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into the place you came out of. I'm going to send you back to a place you're now, it's just like you said. Now I'm looking back and I'm going, oh, now I see why I went through what I went through. You can't understand what you go through when you go through it. But if you're part of God's plan, which you are tonight, or you would not be here, sometimes we miss it, but I'm telling you, God's got plans for you. And he said, now I understand why I was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now I understand why I had to flee out of there for my life. I was scared. Now I understand why I couldn't find a job, so I had to work for my father-in-law. Last job I wanted in town was to work for my father-in-law, Jethro. And Moses, watch verse 35, this Moses, this deliverer, this godsend, whom they did what? They refused. I wonder how many godsends we have refused. I'm probably the worst in here to receive help. I'll tell you, I get it. I may need your help, but I'm like God. God said, if I had need of anything, I would not tell thee. And I'm probably the worst one in here to preach that. But Moses was their godsend. He was their deliverer. And they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler or a judge? The same was the godsend. The same one they questioned was their deliverer, to be the ruler and deliver them by the hand of the angel which appeared to him out of the bush. He brought them out after that he had shewed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. And in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Now let me tell you something. I haven't opened up a Red Sea for you. I haven't cast down a rod and it turned to a serpent. I haven't poured water out and it turned to blood. I haven't done any of those things. There's no need to me to think y'all gonna follow me to death's door. But if I'm your godsend, you need to. You need to. And if I'm not your godsend, then don't follow me. Follow your godsend. Because I believe there's a godsend for everybody's life. There was an Ananias for a Paul. There's a God there. God sends you somebody to deliver you. That's right. And so for 40 years now, he showed them signs and wonders. They walked across the Red Sea on dry land. This is, verse 37, this is that godsend, that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and to your brethren like oh, we're going to have another God sin. Like unto me, hear him shall ye hear. So Moses is speaking. Even Jesus said, Moses spake of me. Here's where he spoke of him. Right here. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, which the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the living oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey. They wouldn't obey their godsend, but thrust him from them. And in their hearts, they turned back again into Egypt. See, there's so many things you can do in your heart you don't do with your body. It's like, I've heard this before. There was a young man sitting on the front pew, and he kept standing up, and the preacher's trying to preach. He says, sit down. I said, sit down. Son, I said, sit down. So he sat down. He said, but I'm still standing up in my mind. See, you can lead horses to water. You can't make them drink. And so unless the godsend changes your heart, what I'm trying to teach you, he hasn't changed you. Because deliverance comes from the inside. It doesn't come from the outside. Deliverance starts inside of you, and then it liberates you on the outside. So they're saying unto Aaron, this is Moses' brother, make us gods to go before us. For as for this godsend, as for this Moses guy, he was good in his day, and he was great in his day. But let me tell you, pause right here and just tell you, I told someone today, and I had a minister visiting with me. He's been a pastor for over 40-something years, not even in this state. And he just happened to drop by the office. And so I was talking to him, and I said, you know, brother, because he's getting up there. I said, bro, what really bothers me about people in a church, and I watched this happen with another church up north. This man took this church over with 59 people and broke and brought them to a beautiful edifice. That church run 800 at one time. Prince of a man finally decided that he needed to resign. And he told me, he said, I probably should have resigned 10 years sooner, but I just couldn't find, you know. And so on his way out, knowing he's resigning, he recarpets the whole church. He pads all the pews. He paints all the building and gets it ready for another man that will follow him. And the people rose up against him. They rose up against him. And a few of them called me. I said, are y'all crazy? Are you crazy? Why would you go against the man that brought you to this place? But he's getting old, and I understand that, but why would you raise up against him? Let me tell you, what God sends to you, he sends to you. And there's penalties for going against your godsend. And so I tried my best to help them to realize that this man brought them where they are. And another man will take them further. That's okay. He's not against that. And he left them with $1.2 million in the bank. And people murmured. Well, what do you think about here, Moses? Here, he's got them out there. They don't have $1.2 million in the bank. They don't even have water. But boy, when they crossed the Red Sea, that Moses, that guy, whoo, he's a godsend. You know, you hear me? That Moses guy, he's tough. I like Moses. But on the other side, before they got over, what'd you do? Get us out here? There ain't no graves out here. These people are funny. Now, y'all aren't. Y'all aren't people, you know. Y'all are saints. But people are.